Well, good morning. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3 again, and working through this small passage of Colossians 3, 12 through 17. And we're going to be talking about the simple phrase, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And so that's what we're going to be trying to tackle today. What does it mean to do everything, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus? Now, before we get into that, I just want to have, I actually want to invite Steve Panasuk to come back in. Steve is outside the door. Would you let Steve in, please? Let Steve in. Permit him to come in through the door. Very, very good. Okay, Steve, I just want to invite you to come up and have a seat right here, right by me. I want you to be in my presence and just kind of influence the things I do. Please sit down. Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, I need you to stay. I need you to be here and stay with me. I need you to just kind of watch over me and dwell while I'm here preaching today. The scriptures say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You guys, that's what we have to do. If we're going to, when this scripture says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, you need the influence of the word of God. I need to invite the Word of God, to bring the Word of God, to dwell with the Word of God close to me so that I have His influence in my life. So I told Steve, would you help me illustrate this morning? And see, the words of the scripture were, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. I think that it is absolutely the desire of every person here. You want that in whatever you do, in word or deed, you want to do that to in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So thank you, Steve, for coming and helping me. You and I need to invite in the Word of God. We need to invite the Word of God to come into our presence moment by moment, day by day. We need to, it says, let the Word of God, invite the Word of God. And that happens in really practical ways. First of all, it's probably good if you have a copy of the Word of God. Now, these days, people can have a copy of the Word of God. It can be on your telephone. I actually use something called YouVersion. It's a free app that is available. You just download it, and you have like 25 versions of the Bible. It will read it to you. It will show it to you. It'll walk you through a devotional life. But you have to let it in. You have to choose to go off of Instagram or off of messaging, and you have to hear messages and Instagrams from God. And so the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I will tell you, you have no hope of ever satisfying this verse of whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You can't do that without the Holy Spirit. You can't do that without the word of God. Sometimes we feel pretty bankrupt as a Christian. We feel distanced from God. You know, you can change that. You can change that by letting the Word of God dwell in you richly. And you may say, well, where do I start reading the Bible? Well, you could start at page one. You could start in the book of John, or you could start in Colossians or Philippians. Those are letters written by Paul to the Christian people at those churches, and every passage of Scripture has principles of God that he wants you to live by. It will teach you about Jesus. It'll teach you about God the Father. It'll teach you the attributes and qualities of God and the faithfulness of God and the love of God. So what I like to do now is step back and look at Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read this passage. This morning, I'd like to have you stand with me, and it'll be up on the screen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And by the way, this is a gold mine. I wish we could mine it all today. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies and kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And here's our verse for today. And whatever you do, Mike, can you turn me down just a little? Thank you so much. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the scripture. And Lord, we thank you that you have made us new creations in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you fill us and that you convict us and you teach us and you seal us and you keep us. God, I pray that you would help us to understand a little more what this verse means. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So the scripture says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'm just going to be real honest, and I would like to say, I think this is a very difficult concept to live. Whatever you do in word or deed. And by the way, how many things does that include? Yeah, word or deed. So this includes your thinking. One of our guys brought out this morning, you know, the Bible says that that out of the mouth, out of the heart, you speak. How's that go? It says, what's in the heart you speak, basically, paraphrased. And so whatever you do in word or deed, whether it's what you say, what you think, or what you do in your life, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so this next little slide just says the goal of the believer is to live to reflect our new life in Christ. So would you agree that that's our goal? The goal of the believer is to reflect Christ, whatever you do. Now, there may be more choices, but these are the two that I highlighted for today. Number one, choice one, work really hard not to mess up. Work really hard not to mess up. And you say, oh man, I did it again. I promise I'll try harder. I do. And so you work at it and you work at it. That's not what God wants. That's not what God wants. I have to say, though, that I've heard this a lot. Thought it in my own life. This is kind of the way a lot of believers pursue their walk with God. Oh, God, I'll try really hard not to mess up. And if I do, oh, forgive me, God, and I'll try really hard to keep going and doing it right. So that's kind of one choice. You can live your life like that. What does that end up leading to? Self-sufficiency is one end. Frustration. What was that? Self-condemnation. Yeah, self-condemnation, because you can't do it anyway, right? You try and you try and you try and you try. Choice two, believe God. Believe God that he has redeemed you. You are redeemed if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. Rely on the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Lord, I need your help. Holy Spirit, please guide me in my words now. Guide me in this job situation. Guide me as I face this difficult person. Lord, guide me. Submit to your new master and his word to transform your heart and your mind. Submit to God. Believe that he has made you a new person. Rest in him. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Read, meditate, trust, obey. That's not a typo. Pickle. What's that? That's right. When I was a little kid, my dad had a friend who used to cut up watermelon rind. And he would make a brine pickle juice, and he would pickle the watermelon rind. Now, I've heard of cucumbers being pickled, but that was the first and last time I heard of anybody pickling watermelon rind. But what's the whole purpose of marinating something in a brine? It soaks it up. It soaks up the flavor, and it turns that item into a pickled item. And so when you eat it, you say, I am eating a pickle, right? It's marinating. It's saturated with, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, so that in whatever you do, when somebody tastes you, so to speak, they taste and they see the Lord in what is in your life, the Lord in your life. That's good. I didn't think about that. Back in the Psalms 37, and we mentioned this last Sunday, but in Psalms 37, David is a redeemed man. He is a man who walks by faith. And he is a man who is not only of the word, but God used him to write a portion of the word. And when God was using him, these are some of the words that he said. And I want you to see the benefits of meditating, of marinating yourself in the word of God. These are some of the words that David used. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. So that's trust. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. You know what happens when you feed on God's faithfulness? When you rehearse the faithfulness of the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament, you see that God is what? He is good. He is faithful. He will be there for you. He won't abandon you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. By the way, these are promises of God through the word of God. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, we know that those desires are going to be desires that please him. They're not just whims. They're not selfish pursuits. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. What a promise. Commit your way to him, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You see, each one of these phrases includes areas of life where you might have need or struggle, or you might be looking to God for an answer, that you can feed on his faithfulness, he will be with you. Delight yourself, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, the way you walk, the concerns and the questions and the decisions that you have to make. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust him and he'll bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Okay, so I just want to submit to you that as you dwell and you let the word of God dwell in you richly, these kinds of truths come out of the word of God for you to benefit from, for you to live by, for you to be comforted by and to give in strength so that you can move forward. The next slide goes back to the same scripture. And I just said, put the scripture in the immediate context. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Okay? So there are a lot of words that we speak, and there's a lot of things that we do. And there's the word of God that God is telling us to dwell on so that we know who he is, we know his character, we know how he works. And it says, as a result of that, there is going to be something in your life, and that's peace. Every person needs God's peace. Peace and rest that you can bank on. It says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And when you say the word rule, that it would manage your heart, it would, I don't have a bunch of words written out or thought through, but the idea of taking control, let the peace of God control your heart, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I just want to say that this permeating, this marinating, this pickling that's going on as you submit yourself to the word of God, it's going to change your life. A lot of us live in that place, that choice one, where it says, oh God, I'm really trying hard to live for you. Oh God, I messed up. Please help me. And you know what? God doesn't want us to live there. He wants you to be confident in your relationship in Christ. And he wants you to think about and dwell on his faithfulness, his purpose, trusting him that as a faithful God, he will see you through. And then it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The wisdom comes from him, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That is a package that is so rich. Maybe we kind of experienced that this morning as we sang all these songs of truth about God. You sing about God and you hear the truth about God, and the wisdom of God begins to fill your heart, singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart to the Lord and grace. Verse 17 again, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, words and deeds reflect all you do and whose you are. Okay? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of, we are doing all we do in someone else's name. We represent the name of. Raleigh, can I use you for an example? There's this great name that Raleigh has, and it's called Master Landscaping. And he has this nice big truck. He sold the business now, but it's still a nice big truck, and it has Master Landscaping. And Raleigh, when you hired people to go out under the name of Master Landscaping, you probably hoped that when they were driving your truck and on the job, that they were accurately representing you, right? And what a joy it was for you to have employees who represented the heart and the sincerity of Master Landscaping, right? Your employees go in your name, and they represent you. This scripture says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So when we go out, we've got the Lord's name written on our side. And he wants us to represent him, to reflect him, that we are consistent with who he is as we are going along. That's why I said it's hard. Anybody here agree this is a hard task? That's why if you allow yourself by taking the Word of God, reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, inviting the Word to be present with you, God is going to influence your heart and your thinking. It is very stressful to represent God without the Word of God. It is very stressful to worry about whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do you ever feel kind of like powerless to carry that out? Oh, Lord, I don't know if I can represent you. And you can't on your own. You have to have the Holy Spirit of God in your soul, trust Him as your Savior, and you have to have the Word of God as an influence in your life so that you can know the principles of God's Word and you can be reflecting the heart of God in every relationship that you're in. So, in a greater context, first of all, in Colossians chapter 3, the first couple of verses, remember whose you are. If then you were raised with Christ, in the first part of Colossians chapter 3. We've gone over this, but you belong to who? If you've trusted in Jesus, you belong to Christ. If then you were raised with Christ, that's the first part. So remember that first. If you've trusted Jesus, you've been raised with Him. Now you're going to live for Him. Secondly, obey your new father. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. It's kind of like you've been given a new job description. With the old man, these are the things you did. With the new boss, Christ, in your life, a new master, now you have a new job description. And He's going to give you the strength to do that. In the new job description, you set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, this is for a minute, try to be as practical as we can be. If you were to think about, don't set your mind on things of the earth, set your mind on things above. I want to just say to you, to know the things above, you need to be in the Word. The things on the earth, they come what to us? They come from the devil, but they come naturally. They're just things that are part of our life, the things of the earth. Could we name a few things of the earth? What are some of the things of the earth? Work. That was not what I was thinking, but. Yep. Yeah. The things, don't let the things of the earth permeate and marinate your mind. Rather, the things of God, let those things permeate your mind. So in Colossians chapter 1, here's Paul's prayer. These are the things that are above. Okay. Colossians 1 says that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. I don't know how many people have asked through the years, I want to know the will of God for my life. Anybody ever say that? I want to know the will of God for my life. Paul prays, these are some of the things that are from God and are in His Word. And he's the things that are above, so think on these things. Paul prays that you would be filled with the knowledge of His will. Secondly, that you would be filled with wisdom and spiritual understanding. There are times where I am faced with stuff in ministry and I don't understand what I'm supposed to do. People may ask a question. There may be a situation where it's very troubling to me. And I've got to say, God, I need your understanding. I need your wisdom. I need you to help me. I cannot figure this out. Anybody ever been there? Right? Paul prays that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Lord, I need you to help me do that. Lord, I need the Word of God to teach me what that means, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. The next thing, that we would be fruitful in every good work. Once again, when you have a tree that bears no fruit, what do you do? Well, you may nurture it and prune it and hope next year it has fruit. How about the next year if it has no fruit? How about the next year if it has no fruit? Yeah. At some place, You got to plant a tree that has fruit. Sometime you've got to plant a tree that has fruit. And God says in our lives, we are known by our fruit. And so Paul prays, this is one of the things, seek those things which are above, that you may be fruitful in every good work, that you may be increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul prays that you would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. I'm going to say that again, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. What things do you face that you need God's power to handle? I'm just going to say everything. I agree with whoever said everything. Everything. I need God's strength and God's power so that I don't buckle, so that I don't give up, so that I don't throw in the towel. Paul says, you know what? Know your God. Know his word. He will dwell on the word of God. These things will be clearer to you, and you will understand. The Bible actually says, understand the mind of God on your behalf. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. I don't want to camp on this one too long, but you know, you guys, this is like the nugget of what our relationship with God is all about. It says, giving thanks to God. Thank you, God, who has qualified us, qualified, made us acceptable in the beloved. He's made us capable of being saved by his blood, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. You're saved. That's a good thing. My chains are gone. I've been set free. You are filled with the Holy Spirit so you can walk with him and trust him and lean on him. And God has prepared a place for you in heaven that when your life ends here, you are going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. You're going to be in a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Those are heavenly things that God wants you to dwell on. Seek those things which are above. Philippians 3:20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the next verse won't seem like it fits here, but listen to this next verse, Matthew 16:23. He turned and said to Peter, I can't imagine, I hope Jesus never says this to me. Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. And then look what he says. You're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. What was Peter doing? He was calculating from a human perspective. You guys, sometimes that's what we do way too much. We calculate from a human perspective. He says, Peter, you're not thinking the things of God here. You're thinking the things of man. You guys, we need to get a hold of this. Jim Eggert, you're not handling this stuff in life because you're thinking the things of the earth, not the things of God. Jim, get a hold of where you're headed. Why are you defeated by this? Why are you underneath this cloud? Why are you struggling? Jim, you're not thinking the things of God. You're thinking the things of man. You guys, we will never have the mind of Christ if we're not in the Word of God. My buddy Steve was standing outside the door. Let him in. Permit him to come in. Come on, Steve. You're welcome to come and sit with me and be my counsel and my guide. That's what we need to do with the Word of God. God, come in. And you know what? I have to make that decision for me. You have to make that decision for you. The question is, what decision are we making? Are we inviting, letting, bringing in the Word of God and saying, God, teach me? You guys, God wants. There is such blessing for you and for me if we would be pickled by the Word of God. If we would be marinated by the Word of God, if we would delight ourselves in the Lord so that our desires would be his desires. Set your mind on things above. Way back in the book of 1 Chronicles, the words are, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. I always say this, but I love the fact that you come to church. This is a little segment, a little piece of the pie of our Christian life, this gathering of the believers. But I'm really glad you're here. You bless me. I hope that we bless each other. I hope we spur each other on and encourage one another as all the more as we see the day approaching. In Psalm 119, the words say, incline my heart to your testimonies. This is almost a prayer. God, incline my heart to your testimonies, the things said about you, God, not to covetousness. Can you see the things of the world and the things of God right there? Covetousness, the things of the world, and inclining my heart to your testimonies, the things of God. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Oh, you guys, worthless things. In any given week, do you ever entertain worthless things with what you see or what you think? Worthless things. The scripture says, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things and revive in me your way. Romans 8:5 says, for those who live according to the flesh, earthly thinking, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Just track with that verse for just a minute. To be carnally minded, to set your mind on earthly things, not on the things where we're set with Christ in the heavens, is terrible. To set your mind on carnal things is what? Death. Even for the believer. You can feel terrible. You can feel worthless. You can feel defeated if you're just focusing on the worthless things of the world. God says, when you invite me in, invite my word into your life. I guess I've lived way too long feeling like I've entertained worthless things. I don't want to live at like 19% of what God has to offer in my life. I'm not sure I even want to live at 59% of what God offers for my life. What do we want? What kind of influence do we want in our life? It is not going to be possible that in everything we do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, unless we're walking with him, walking in the Spirit, and not in the flesh. Galatians 5 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So in this next slide, I'll probably need to wrap it up here. But this next slide, so we've got the transformation from the old man to the new man. The Bible says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's a good thing. You died to your self and sinfulness, and now you've been raised to newness of life in Christ. And then in verse 4, there's this new and eternal hope. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So I wrote down, you know, where the new jersey stopped playing for the old team. And when you're playing a sport and you get a jersey and you wear the jersey, you play for that team. And then, you know, like in the professional sports, they get sold and traded to other teams. And guess what? When they're on the new team, do they go back and play for the old team? They don't go back and play for the old team. And God says, don't go back and play for the old team. Don't play for the team of lost and death and earthly thinking. When you're on God's team, put on the jersey and stop playing for the old team. Set your mind on things above. Delight yourself in the love in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Thank you, Lord. Years ago, I heard this guy say, "What do you get when you squeeze an orange? If it's a good orange, you get orange juice. But you know what you get when you squeeze an orange? Whatever's on the inside." And there have been times in my life when I've squeezed an orange and what was on the inside was rotten. A little worm had gotten in there and done his job, and you squeeze that orange and you're hoping for orange juice. But when you squeeze an orange, you get whatever's on the inside. When we're squeezed in life, what comes out? You know? What comes out is what you've been putting in. What you put, what comes out is what you've been dwelling on. Because you know what? Every one of us are going to be squeezed by life and stuff. And it is not going to be good. What comes out is what's on the inside. The Bible uses these words to describe how we seek him. A lot of them in the Psalms and then later in the Gospels. It says, seek the Lord. Thirst after the Lord. Yearn for the Lord. Again, thirst and hunger after God. It says, pant. Remember that scripture? It says, as the deer pants for water, so my soul pants for thee, O Lord. You see these words of intent, these verbs? It says, long for, my life faints for you, God. I hunger for you. I labor for that which endures. And I just ask the question, what words would describe how you seek God and his word? If you were to use a word to describe how you generally seek God and his word, what would it be? You know, when I ask myself that question, I just think, boy, Lord, I need to hunger after you more. I need to yearn for you more. I need to thirst for you more. Everybody in this room knows what it's like to be hungry. Maybe you're hungry right now. Seek God with a hunger. Seek God as you would if you were thirsty. Seek him. He is there for you. Worship team, would you come on up? Mike, if you could go to the very last slide where John Piper's name comes up. Could you put that up for a second? It's just a little... Well, they're getting ready. Let me read this to you. What can we do to practically help set our minds on heavenly things? First step is to recognize our need. Do we have a need? I do. Need for setting our mind on things above. We must recognize that there are many competing claims upon our minds and our attention. We must resolve to find time and a place where we will not be bombarded by TV and radio and telephone and internet. Instead, we should give ourselves to our Bibles and to the living God in a safe and quiet place. We must give ourselves to setting our mind on things above by meditating upon and memorizing Scripture. Likewise, as we read the Scriptures, we ought to pray, Lord, open my eyes to see yourself and the wonders that you are and the wonders that you promise. These are the things of heaven. In this way, we will become more heavenly minded because we are saturating our minds with the things of God and the words of Scripture. It's very simple in the end. Find a time and a place where you have a season of solitude and quiet. Open your Bible and slowly read. And as you read, turn every sentence into prayer. Saturate your mind. Ask questions. Ponder. Ask how it relates to your family, your children, your singleness, your job, your leisure, so that all of your life takes on a Godward focus, a Bible saturation, and an exaltation of Jesus Christ. I just would like to say to you, the reason that I wanted to focus on this phrase, whatever you do in word or deed, and do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and the reason I wanted to tie it together with the Word of God is because it's impossible to control our words and deeds that they be pleasing to God without God's influence, God's Word in our life. Now, here's the deal, guys. I struggle. I see families that struggle. I see marriages that struggle. I see kids that are struggling. I see people that are struggling with all kinds of stuff. And we try, sometimes all by ourselves, to fix it. And God says, here I am. I am the source of all. I am here for you. Set your mind on things above. Get God's help with your marriage. Get God's help with your kids. Get God's help with friendships and relationships that are struggling. Stop trying to solve it with earthly thinking. God wants you not only on his team, but to succeed and be victorious and be using the gifts and abilities that he has put in your soul. God is offering something to us better than a 7-course dinner. God is offering to you a way for you to be victorious in life. Father, thank you that you do this and you love your people. Help us, Lord, to submit our lives and our time to seek you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.
Holy, holy. Blessed Trinity. Blessed Trinity. Amen.
I just want to offer that if you just have a need for prayer, please come and we'd like to pray with you. If you want to be baptized, we'd love to talk to you about being baptized next Sunday. May God bless you. Wow, it's just good to be with God's people. Have a great day together. John? Good. Okay, John. So we will take that to heart. If you have any baby things that could be helpful, please talk to John. Let him know today. God bless you. We'll see you soon, Lord willing.
I need help with my attitude, Jim. Can we pray for that?
Sure.
I've got a few things happening the last few minutes.